Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The time is now 2:14 p.m. You are tuned into Radio Islam and this is the Ummahat Tafsir program. I am Zahira. Alhamdulillah, we are in the last week of Ramadan and we've learnt a lot together. We've been through a lot together, a lot of discussions. So we've completed Surah Humaza, Surah Teen and Surah Asr. And so today, like the promo suggests, we're going to be doing Surah Adiyat. And welcome to all our listeners. Ahlan wa sahlan. And you know, as usual, we start off with some Q&A about the Quran, because we always say, how can you claim to love Allah if we know nothing about the kalam of Allah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that when we read Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us, and when we read Salah, we are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very important for us to understand certain things about the Quran. The more you know about your spouses or your children or your friends, the more you love them, isn't it? And so the more we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the more we get to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His word. So today's few questions that we're going to go through is, which is the longest surah in the Quran? And that is Surah Baqarah. And which is the shortest surah in the Quran? The shortest surah in the Quran is Surah Kawthar. Okay? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. And so we're going to do a few of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Taha speaks about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Musa alayhi salam that he should travel by night with his servants and strike for them a dry path through the sea. You will not fear being overtaken by Fir'aun, nor be afraid of drowning. And so in Surah Taha, one miracle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about is the splitting of the ocean for Musa alayhi salam. What a beautiful story, subhanallah. Also in Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam to draw his hand on his side and it will come out white without disease, and which is another sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that also is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Have you not believed?" And he said, "Yes, I do, but only that my heart may be satisfied." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Take four birds and commit them to yourselves, and then after slaughtering them, put each on a hill and a portion of them on a hill, and then call them and they will come flying to you in haste, and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the exalted in might and in wisdom." So that speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam's story about belief and the birds and resurrection, etc. Surah Isra, we'll just do three more. Surah Isra talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who took his servant by night from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Isra and Mi'raj in Surah Isra. Also a miracle that Allah speaks about in the Quran. Then in Surah Saba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sulaiman alayhi salam and how Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah made the wind subservient to him. So Allah says, "And to Sulaiman we subjected the wind in the morning and in the afternoon, and we made flow for him, copper flow for him in the form of liquid, and among the jinn were those who worked for him by the permission of his Lord, and whoever deviated among them from our command, we will make him taste the punishment or the blazing fire." Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sulaiman alayhi salam, copper, and how the wind was subservient to him. So some people say he had a flying carpet or whatever it may be, but it was more so the wind that was subservient to Sulaiman alayhi salam. And lastly, one of the miracles in the Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the coccyx bone which does not disintegrate. And subhanallah, so that is something that is related to every single one of us. All these miracles are mentioned in the Quran. The shortest surah in the Quran, Surah Kawthar, and the longest Surah Baqarah. And that takes us, alhamdulillah, to our lesson for today. We're going to be doing Surah Adiyat in the Quran. And I'm sure a lot of us know the surah of our heart and we read it often. It's a very interesting surah and it's got a strange twist in the surah. And so, Adiyat means the running horses. Okay, the surah is a Makki surah and it has 11 verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called it Surah Adiyat, which means the running horses. Now, what does horses have to do with anything actually? And it's more to get our attention. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about horses in the Quran, we know that in the time of the Sahaba, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam and previously, horses were something that were very exotic, amazing animals. If you had it, it was a sign of wealth, it was a sign of honor, it was a sign of bravery. And so it is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting a topic like horses in the Quran, and more so the horses that go out in war, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran as a title, because anything that gets your attention, you sort of look at that thing and you want to know more about it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get the attention of all of us, and I mean today also, there are so many people that use and have horses as pets and animals and keep them on farms and whatever it is. And so it's common for us, it was common for them. Like we say, the Quran never expires in its information. So just to get our attention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about something that we all love, right? So just on that topic of adiyat and on the war horses and horses per se, let's talk about a few hadith that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually speaks about horses. For those of you out there who love horses, it is narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whosoever keeps horses in the way of Allah, his reward shall be like that of an ever fasting, ever praying person. And as long as he spends on his horse, his reward will be like that of a person who is giving alms." Subhanallah. So just by keeping a horse and looking after the horse, you are getting continuous reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another incident is where Muhammad bin Uqbal al-Qadi narrates from his father, who narrates that his grandfather said, "We once went to Tamim Dari while he was preparing his horse's food. We said, 'Oh Aba Ruqayya, don't you have anyone to do this for you?' He replied, 'Yes, most definitely, but I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, whosoever keeps horses in the way of Allah and prepares its food with his own hands, he will be rewarded a good deed for each grain that he feeds.'" Subhanallah. So, I mean, which other animal do you have that you're going to get so much reward and virtue, and the word of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that adds value to all of these things? Subhanallah. So horses, there's a lot of merit behind that in the Quran and in our history. Abu Qatada reported that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of horses is black with a white forehead and white upper lip. Next to that is a black horse with a white forehead and white legs. If it is not black, it is bay, that is reddish brown color approaching chestnut horse that has these marks." Subhanallah. So many narrations, different narrations about horses. And Allah, we know that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself owned a few different horses during his lifetime. And just out of interest sake, it's got nothing to do with the surah, whatever it is, but because we're talking about horses, let's talk about some of the horses Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam owned. And also, it's nice ideas for you guys to name your horses these names, just to emulate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever it may be. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a horse by the name of Sakab. Sakab, he was named Sakab because of the torrent, named due to its speed. It was a very fast horse. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used this horse in the battle of Uhud. And also, it was chestnut in color with a white star and three white socks. Right, so the right foreleg didn't have a sock, meaning that whitish color at the bottom of the horse, right? So Sakab was one of the horses of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another name of the horses of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Lizar, the one that clings or catches up. He was given this name due to his speed, and because of the speed that he would catch up and to another horse whilst being chased, etc. This was given to given to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a gift. So the horse Lizar was given to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a gift. He had another horse, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the name of Luhayf, the one that drags. So, because the horse used to drag along its tail, and its tail was quite long, and it just dragged on the floor, this horse was named Luhayf. Then there was Ya'sub, named after a tall bird due to its height and slenderness, right? So the horse, all the names give us some kind of understanding of what the horse was actually capable of, right? And then there was Murtajiz, the one that sings in tune. And because the horse had a beautiful neighing sound, it was white in color, he was named Murtajiz. Okay, so these are just some facts and interesting hadith on horses. Subhanallah. And so Surah Adiyat means the running horses. So Allah draws our attention to see now, okay, what is this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about horses? So ayat number 1, wal adiyati dhabha. I swear by those horses that run snorting, right? So dhabha is when the, while the, there's a sound coming out of the chest of a horse when it runs fast and breathes and it's panting, right? So there's different understandings of what the word actually means. But we're going to translate it as, I swear by those horses that run snorting. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ بَضَحَا. Ayat number 2. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا. Then those that create sparks by striking their hooves on the stones. Subhanallah, right? فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا. Then those that create sparks by striking their hooves on the stones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is painting this picture for us because we are very visual in a sense that we hear وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا, and we have this whole vision in our minds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously preparing us to hear something amazing that Allah, or important rather, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say next. And we know that the purpose of swearing an oath is to confirm or give weight to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about in this surah, right? Ayat number 3, فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبَحًا. Then those that invade at morning. Then those that that invade at morning. So subha, sabah, is in the morning. And we know that it takes a very brave horse to actually attack and go out in the morning, and a very cowardly one to go out at night. So these horses that Allah speaks about in the Quran, these are horses that are brave war horses, and they are, you know, they're going out in the battlefield and they're striking their hooves on the stones. There's no sign of fear of them, so much so that they are capable of invading and attacking in the morning, right? Ayat number 4, فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقَعَ. And raise a trail of dust therein. Subhanallah, what a vision, what a picture to imagine in your minds, that these are horses, they're running and the sand is, you know, raising as they run, okay, in the obedience of their masters in war, right? So, ayat number 4 again, فَأَثَرْنَا بِهِ نَقَعَ, and raise a trail of dust therein. And we'll go on, فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعَا. Then enter at the same time into the center of the opposing host. And then they enter at the same time into the center of the opposing host. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is painting this amazing, brave picture for us with an animal that we love and we are familiar with, and to draw our attention. But obviously, like we did in Surah Teen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says qasams on different prophets and different lands to draw our attention on an important point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention next. And like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in Surah Adiyah to draw our attention, I swear by those horses that run snorting, then those that create sparks by striking their hooves on the stones, then those that invade at morning and raise a trail of dust therein, then enter at the same time into the center of the opposing host. Subhanallah, what a sight, what a vision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates for us by means of these horses. And how beautiful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of getting our attention, that if I had to speak about recipes, then everyone would run and get a pen and get a paper and start writing down, because I said, I've got this amazing recipe, or I have, Adega's recipe for chicken, and everyone gets so excited and they want to take it down. And for men, you talk about cars, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention to horses because this is something that both men and women, they love these things. They love these animals, right? And like that, in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, also they had this affinity towards horses. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has our attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention, and now we're listening about these amazing horses. So now what does Allah have to say next? And the next point, obviously, would be the important point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about horses just to draw us to what's coming next. Let's stop for a break, and inshallah we'll get there next. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. You are tuned into Radio Islam. It is 2:39 p.m. We have come to our 99 Names of Allah segment, the theme discussion of Ramadan. We're going to be doing the name Ar-Rashid, the director to the right way, the appointer of the right path, the one who unerringly decrees, appoints or ordains the right way, the one who is the supreme director to the right path and right belief. the one who perfectly and righteously directs all matters towards their proper conclusion, the one who needs no aid to direct all affairs rightly. The name Ar-Rashid, according to the dictionary, denotes the one who is the director to the right way, and the one whose regulations are conducted to the attainment of their ultimate objects in the right way, without anyone's aiding in directing their course aright. Ar-Rashid is characterized by complete perfection, great wisdom, and ultimate guidance. He is the one whose management of all affairs reaches its ultimate goal and success. He guides his creatures and leads them to what is best for them. He guides them through his wisdom towards the attainment of their well-being in the life of the world and in the life to come. Ar-Rashid has made those with whom he is pleased happy, who guided his friends to him. There is no negligence in his management of the affairs, nor in his assessment, and he is knowing for his justice and favors. Ar-Rashid is Al-Murshid, the one who inspires right guidance for those who obey him. And he has led all beings to his guidance, the one whose rope is strong, whose command is wise. In Surah Kahf, we read the following verse: Lord, grant us mercy from you and provide for us a right course in our affairs. The difference between Rashid and Hadi: Rashid refers primarily to being directed to or set upon the appointed right path with supreme certainty of the intended outcome, while Hadi refers primarily to the continuing guidance, leadership and direction that is kindly provided to reach the path and also along the path until the goal is achieved.
الحي القيوم الواحد الظاهر الأحد الصمد الأول الآخر الباطن الوالي المتعالي الجامع الغني النور الهادي أسماء الحسنى These are the names of Allah أسماء
Subhanallah, what a beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put His love in our hearts and remove all that love that is insignificant or not pure. Allah remove that love from our hearts so that we have space just for Him. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Back to our surah, Surah Adiyat, the running horses. So we did a whole discussion on horses and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the war horses in Surah Adiyat till ayat number... till ayat number 5, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right up till ayat number 5 speaks about these horses and how brave and resistant they are in the battle. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the next ayat, which is actually the main ayat in this entire surah, right? So this is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leading us to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, After فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayat number 6, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ Okay, and this here is where things get a bit serious and intense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man is indeed very ungrateful to his Lord. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ Man is indeed very ungrateful to his Lord. Subhanallah. And how true is this here? Let me continue and then I will give you the tafsir of the two ayats. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that man is indeed very ungrateful to his Lord. And then ayat number 7 he says, and he himself is a witness to that fact. So Allah is saying, you are very ungrateful when it comes to me and your Lord, you are very ungrateful and you know that you are this way. And so, we see in the surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first he's talking about horses, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we are so ungrateful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this in the order that it is in the surah, because Allah teaches us that horses, the task of a horse and the task of the companion of the horse, that is you and I, is merely to give the horse the fodder that Allah has created. The horse recognizes and acknowledges this little favor that man does to them. and are prepared to risk their entire lives and bear the greatness of hardship. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the analogy of a horse. You feed the horse gets to know you. And once the horse realizes that you are the one that is feeding them by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that horse is ready to dedicate its life to you and run into the battlefield bravely. Subhanallah. And Allah uses this analogy to teach us that against all of this, Allah has created man with an insignificant drop of sperm and endowed him with high faculties, abilities, intellect and senses to perform various types of tasks, thus making him the crown of his creation. Like we discussed in Surah 10, you are amazing, you are Ahsan Taqweem, you are the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has given us food, different kinds of food, and facilities that He has created for our needs and our necessities in the most amazing manner. But man does not recognize and acknowledge any of these sublime favors, nor does he express his gratitude to his Creator. Allahu Akbar. And so that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leading us towards in these ayats, that think about the horse. And then think about you and I, and realize how insignificant our efforts are and how little we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why so many places in the Quran you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, very few of them make shukr. Very few of them make shukr. And we know the best form of shukr is to say Alhamdulillah. So we have a lot of ladies holding their tisbees and figuring and trying to read which is the best form of thanking Allah and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's so simple. Cut all the long du'as shorter and just say Alhamdulillah. You take a tasbih in your hand, read Alhamdulillah as many times as you can. Make that part of your vocabulary. Someone asks you how you are and you say, I'm good, Alhamdulillah. And in doing so, you are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has given you just by using such small and simple words. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you are so ungrateful towards me. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in different ways, in different ahadith, Allah speaks about the ungratefulness of man. And when it comes to women, and I know because most of my audience are probably women, then I want to share something to you about being ungrateful. And I'm sure you're not going to appreciate what I'm going to say, but I'm just going to say it anyway, that Ibn Abbas narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I was shown the hellfire, and that majority of its dwellers were women who are ungrateful. It was asked, do they disbelieve in Allah or are they ungrateful to Allah? And he replied, they are ungrateful to their husbands and are ungrateful for the favors and the good charitable deeds done to them. If you have always been good to one of them and then she sees something in you not of her liking, she will say, I have never received any good from you. And this hadith is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari. And this year, something that you and I, all our listeners can, you know, relate to is that when it comes to our husbands, and I often say this to my students at Ummahat, that we often point to them with, you know, those big diamond rings on our fingers and the diamond is shining in your eyes and blinding you, but you're still pointing a finger at them and saying, you don't do this for me and you always like this year. And I mean, subhanallah, they dedicated their lives to us. They work the entire day. They do so much for us. And yet we are unable to, you know, open the door with a smiling face and look at them and make shukr for the fact that they work so hard for us. And so now and again, just on a side note, it's got nothing to do with anything really, but on a side note, it's nice to sometimes show appreciation to our spouses for all that they do for us. And the same with the man for women. I mean, she's at home the whole day looking after the children, taking them on rounds and everything. It's nice to be nice. It's okay to be nice, to say to them, I appreciate what you do for me, Alhamdulillah. Not that, oh, you sit at home the whole day, what do you do? And then some of us say to our husbands, I asked you to do this for me. And I asked you so many times and now you never ever do anything for me. And subhanallah, in that one sentence we become so ungrateful. And like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are ungrateful to me. I mean, if we can't even thank one another, how will we ever thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so a tip for you and I, if we want to gain some kind of proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not be part of these ayats where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are ungrateful, then try and be grateful to one another. And once your tongue is used to saying thank you, jazakallahu khair, to your spouse, to your children, to one another, once your tongue is moist with that, with thanking one another, then of course it will be easy to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be a grateful servant. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in the next ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وإنه لحب الخير لشديد. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously told us, man is indeed very ungrateful to his Lord. And he himself is a witness to that fact. And then in ayat number 8, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And in his love for wealth, he is very intense. And in his love for wealth, he is very intense. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when it comes to money, subhanallah, it's like it brings out some other kind of person in us. So the word khayr, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ, the word khayr means any good thing. Right? So, and in Arabic, khair would imply towards wealth, because obviously wealth gives us goodness and benefit, etc. But sometimes wealth, it can involve man in an untold misery. And I mean that also more so in the hereafter, this will be the position of all wealth acquired through unlawful means. I mean, if you have wealth, it could be a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it can be a musibat on us, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to take you back, Allah takes us through war horses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we are ungrateful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how we forget the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are so intense in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And so we know, and I mean, if we've learned anything from this entire surah, just hear what I'm saying to you now. A believer should acquire wealth as Allah has commanded us to, right? So we need wealth, we need to survive, we need to live. So we look after it and we utilize it whenever and wherever it's necessary. But his heart should not be attached to it. How elegantly Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi has stated that as long as the water remains under the boat, it helps the boat to sail. But if the water seeps into the boat, it sinks it. Subhanallah. And this whole analogy is given towards wealth, that the minute you internalize that wealth, it's going to destroy you, it's going to sink you, subhanallah. And so we know that when it comes to wealth and anything of the dunya, we put it in our hands. You keep the dunya in your hands and you keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. And then when something from the dunya is snatched away from your hands, then your hand feels the pain. But if you're going to put the dunya in your heart, then subhanallah, the minute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away something from you, your heart is going to ache and you're going to say something that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we had to summarize wal-adiyat in a sentence, we would say, keep the dunya in your hands and keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. Assalamu alaikum, welcome back. And if you've just tuned in, this is the Ummahat Tafsir program on Radio Islam. We are doing Surah Adiyat and it is now 2:49 p.m. Just a recap on what we just did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that mankind is very ungrateful. Okay? And we know that a complaining tongue reveals an ungrateful heart. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Adiyat, why can't we be like the horses? Allah has given us so much and they give their whole life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why can't we be like the horses whose masters give them so much and they run out in the battlefield? And Allah has given us so much. And why can't we do for him? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that our love for this dunya is very, very intense. Our love for all that is good and money is very intense. And so we learn and understand that detachment does not even mean that we cannot own things of the dunya. In fact, many of the greatest companions were extremely wealthy. Rather, detachment is that we view and interact with the dunya for what it really is, just a means. The dunya is just a means. Detachment is when the dunya remains in our hands and not in our hearts. Like Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and has mentioned, that detachment is not that you should own nothing, but that nothing should own you. Subhanallah. Even in terms of the way we eat, I mean, we eat as though our food owns us. And we say, I can't lose weight and I can't go on a diet and whatever it is, but you own the food. So you should eat it and be moderate in that, but not blame everything on everyone and everything, instead of taking ownership and detaching ourselves and owning things the way we should own it. Nothing should own you, right? Subhanallah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayat number 9, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after stating the two things that we make a lot of mistakes in doing those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you not know when you will be contained in the grave and all will be overturned? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember that a time will come where you will be in your qabr, and everything that you did in this lifetime, everything that you owned, everything that you possessed, everything that you yearned and replaced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, all of that will be exposed and overturned in the grave, right? And so when we remember death, it makes resistance a lot easier for us. And I know that our listeners, our mothers and our sisters and girls that have not yet been married, etc., we're so scared of what everyone is going to say. We're so scared that if I wear a scarf, I might not keep it on. If I wear a niqab, I don't know if I will cope. If. And I just want to remind you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a time is going to come when you're going to go into your grave. And when you go into your grave, you're going to be on your own. Your friends that took you away, they're not going to be there with you. Your husband that said, disobey Allah in, I don't like it when you wear scarf and I don't like it when you wear niqab, and they take you further away from Allah, they're not going to be there with you either. And your children as well. You know, sometimes we're so busy with our children that we even miss salah. That we're so busy with our rounds and our transportation and all of that, that we forget that it's Asr Salah, it's time for Namaz, and so that becomes Qadha just because we've given preference to everything other than Allah. So, a reminder to all of us that are ungrateful and we're so intense in our love for this dunya, Allah says, come back. Think about the grave. Think about the fact that you're going to be alone and you're going to come one day in your qabr and it's just going to be you and your deeds and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayat number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, and all that is contained in the hearts will be exposed. I mean, really, do you think that you're going to love this world, love the world, take it, internalize it, and make it your everything, and a time will not come when you will be answerable for all these things? Whatever is dear to you in your heart, a time will come where all those things will be exposed. And I'm asking the listeners right now, if your heart were taken out of you and placed on a platter, what would be in that heart of yours? And I think the best analogy for this here is your cell phones, because I mean, we've put so much of heart and love in those cell phones that from the wallpaper, from your status, from your updates, the context that you have on your phone, if something has to happen to you right now and you don't have the chance to take your phone, unlock it and delete whatever it is that you've done or spoken to or made ghibat about or whatever it is, and someone just takes your phone, do you know that the biggest reflection on you is the content on your phone right now because of the times that we are living in? So a good reflection on what you are and what you're all about is right there in front of you on your phone. Is it pure? Is it something that you regret? Is it something that you wish you have to delete and put a code on and a password? Then understand that just like that, your hearts will be exposed. Imagine not getting a chance to get rid of any of those things on our phones. Allah keep us pure, and Allah keep the content in our lives pure, that if anyone had to pick up our phones, our computers, or like that, like we're saying here, our hearts, everything is clean and has only the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. So keep that in mind, that the biggest reflection on what's in your heart is right there in front of you on your cell phone. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in ayat number 10, and all that is contained in the hearts will be exposed. It will be exposed. And the last ayat in Surah Adiyat, the running horses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Rabbahum bihim yawma idhil lakhabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely your Lord that day will be fully aware of them. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you that to be ungrateful, to have the love for the dunya, why don't you just submit? And I've been saying this throughout Ramadan to my students, and I'm going to say it here on radio as well. How much of our lives are actually Islam and not culture? How much of our lives is not because my mother said so, because my husband said so, but because my children said so, and more towards because I want to and it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have come so far away from our deen. And imagine, it's like, you know, we always use this analogy that your children tell you every day, mommy, I love you, mommy, I love you. And then you ask your children, help me please, and just wash the dishes and just help me in the kitchen. And they look at you and they say, no, I don't feel like doing that today. I'll help mommy tomorrow. And so they're expressing their love to you every single day. They're saying to you they love you, but in their actions, no one's there for you, no one is helping you, no one's in the kitchen when you need them. And so our actions reflect how much we actually mean our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So let's ask ourselves, all that we are doing, is it to please others or is it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let us start saying Alhamdulillah often, make it part of your lingo where you're speaking and you just can't stop taking the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah make us like the horses where we realize and recognize those who love us, feed us and give us sweet water to drink. And because we realize that everything ultimately comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes us easy to charge and be brave in this dunya because we know that everything is and belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this takes us to the end of our tafsir program for Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, we have completed Surah Adiyat, Surah Humaza, Surah Teen and Surah Asr. Four surahs, intense surahs that inshallah if we understand truly what it really means, it will assist us and aid us for the rest of the year till the next Ramadan, inshallah. Ameen. It's been amazing on being part of this program and show at Radio Islam. And I hope that inshallah we've benefited from all of this. May Allah make us people of the Quran. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love those who are attached and love the Quran as well. Let us be true lovers of Allah's kalam and speech. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, have a blessed Eid and I hope to be on show again soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.